down. All right, I can cue.
Says the man who can't carry a tuna in a bucket.
I can't. We know this, though. We talked about this last week, right? Me and my daughters.
I'm just teasing.
No, it's true. I can admit of my failings. Lack of hair, big one. Tone deaf, number two. There's a long list.
There's a long list.
It's GlosterCast 256. We have Jimmy and Pat Dalpiaz here.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Good morning, Gloucester.
We have Kim Smith here. She looks a little weary.
Good morning, Gloucester.
She was out in the cold for the lobster trout tree lighting yesterday.
Yes, yeah. It was beautiful. Are we talking
about
beautiful.
That right
away?
No,
no, no. We'll get to it, though.
Okay, it was amazing. But, yeah, I'm a little overtired today. I don't usually sleep late or oversleep, and I did actually do that today.
You overslept.
As often as a blue moon happens. That's
there
how
you
often.
Go. There you go.
All right. Head, top. I don't care about talking about anything else after this, because everything else pales in comparison. We need to make sure everyone hears this next Saturday night.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
If you got an invitation through Facebook, if you didn't get an invitation through Facebook, if you heard about it, if you're a bum on the street, it doesn't matter. We want you to come to Cape Angie Clay, 6 o'clock next Saturday night. It's the 16th. Cape Angie Clay.
What time does it start?
Six o'clock.
6 o'clock. Yeah.
Okay. If you have ever listened to the Good Morning Gloucester podcast, if you've been part of our lives, we want you to come celebrate 10 years of Good Morning Gloucester and our holiday party all wrapped up in one.
All wrapped up in one.
That's amazing. Wow. 10 years is an amazing accomplishment in this world.
10 years.
It is.
I'm going to tell you why it's so amazing. During during the run, right, there have been people far more talented than me that locally that have started blogs in certain niches and have gone by the wayside. Well, it takes an incredible amount of fortitude to continue to put out and build your listener base brick by brick every single day.
Yes.
It was relentless. The first 4 years was, and continues to this day, but not to the extent it was in the beginning because it's become a snowball.
It's established,
It's established. Yeah. But, like, to do, anybody that does it for 4 years, that like, consistently, that's amazing. And to do it for 10, it's just, we have such a great group. And you know, the whole blessed thing is a cliche at this point. Mm-hmm. It's totally like, you know, people say it and it's like become like hero was a couple years ago.
Right,
overused, hashtag blessed. But truly blessed, truly blessed. I don't care. I'm using it
but
anyway.
You guys make it look easy, and that's what, you know, you're like the duck paddling under, little feet underwater going, you know,
it's become a lot easier for me, I'll admit. Yeah. I mean, I used to come up with six or sometimes 10, and at least 3 or 4 very detailed, intense posts, like every single day in the beginning, you know, to get this thing
that's
off the ground.
That's really hard.
And really put myself out there and being a lot edgier than I am now and responding to criticism a lot. Now I don't, like, put myself out there for criticism because I just don't have the energy. But now we have all these other wonderful people that are, like, putting, all you guys, all of our contributors putting in the, like, you know, it's a lift.
It's tons of hours, but it's worth it.
You get so much back.
You just get so much back.
It's like a living thing, and you're watching it grow, which is really, really.
But the friendships is the number one thing, and you can, I'd be hard pressed to think that you guys would think any other way, is the relationships that you get to forge through this thing.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
The friendships. I was at Craig's the other day. This happens a couple times a year. But look, we were here for my birthday party. And the guys were saying, you know, everybody was going around saying how they knew Joey and stuff. And really, the spawn of so many different relationships is the hub, is the Good Morning Gloucester.
Especially Craig and James.
Yeah. Craig, James, Eric,
Yeah.
A lot. That list is a spider web. Believe me, it goes in so many different directions, and so many different connections, doors are open for
Craig and James with each other. You know what I mean? Like, you know how they're like bosom buddies now. So,
Yeah. And so we as much as people say it's work, it's never work. And when it becomes work, then you should just kind of just take a break.
Take a break. Yeah.
You know.
And you kind of blinked your eyes and ten years was here, right? I mean,
what's that?
You kind of blinked your eyes and it was 10 years before you knew it, right? Almost.
Yeah. You know, I look back at some of the pictures, the early pictures, and like what was going on in my life back then. It really was. I mean, a whole different. There's been like several like waves of different things. We've lost people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we lost Fred. I mean, we lost. We've lost
contributors that they've moved on to other things.
And then we've had fantastic contributors that might have got burnt out or move on to other things, but whatever it is, like there's just so much positive stuff. Anyway.
So it's time to celebrate.
We are going to celebrate Saturday night at Cape Angie Clay. The link is in the podcast with the directions in the show notes. So there's that. Cape Angie Community Cinema, I just want to mention, they sponsor two tickets to a listener that shares the podcast on Facebook. A link to go directly to their website and to see their programming is there. And the other item I want to put out there is that there is an opportunity to support the Good Morning Gloucester contributors, there's a link in the show notes to check out their holiday offerings. Donna, Bridget, Craig,
David Cox's
place, right. Felicia, the Peter and Vicky Van Ness,
this 9 Wallace Street.
Huh?
9 Wallace Street.
9 Wallace, yep. So, the people that are doing this for nothing, support their efforts. Middle Street Walk was yesterday.
It was a great day for it.
The lobster treading tree was lighting was yesterday.
Yeah.
You guys were both down there.
Yep.
Well, I was only participating in the lobster treading tree.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to let Pat and Jimmy run down. For that, and then I'm going to let you take over on the lobster trap tree.
Yeah.
So tell me about the Mill Street Walk.
We've never done it, so it was a perfect opportunity for us to get into some of these places that either we hadn't been in yet or hadn't seen in ways that yesterday offered the opportunity. Jim climbed to the top of the City Hall tower.
Yeah.
I couldn't make that very last
and that's scary.
In the snow, it was like.
Well,
it was funny. Was
that,
it slippery? Yikes.
Once you got up there, yes.
Yeah.
But the funny part was they had somebody downstairs. When you first get up to that area, had a greeter there.
Okay.
And then they let you just continue going up. And people were looking at the boards and the stairs and the creaky stairs, and they weren't sure.
Sure
enough, when I was there, there was a couple of kids that started, and they got up there, and they kind of said, "Mom, I gotta get," and Mom wouldn't go up.
Oh.
And so she's calling up, "I'm here for you, come on down." So we were helping some of the kids to come back down again, because it is a very tight stairs.
Very vertical.
It's almost a ladder. That last one.
I don't want to.
Anyway,
like
I thought about that.
There's
like, I know.
Some places. There's
I thought about
anywhere.
That
like,
too.
Like building inspector let people go up.
Right.
It's like,
could you take a picture when you were up there? Was it too snowy and wet?
Well, when I got up there, it had just started to get to that little bit heavier snow that we had yesterday.
Yeah.
So it was blowing pretty good. So you couldn't do a thing. I think most people were worried that the bell was going to ring.
Yeah, they
and
kept
some
saying
of them wanted out because they were timing it. They kept looking at their watch, saying, "I don't want to
hear."
But they leaned over and they said, "We turned it off. We turned it off. We didn't tell anybody that, but we turned it off."
Did you see the peregrine falcon?
No.
No.
Yeah, there's one that lives up there.
There's a peregrine falcon that's nested up there.
Well, he probably took off or
well, there were so many people, maybe it spooked them. But no, I never saw anything flying.
But I loved it. There's a huge paper map of the city of Gloucester that appears to be on a roller up on that level where the greeter was. It's badly damaged. But it's...
I've never seen that.
It's over the stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, because the Cape Ann Big Band was playing downstairs at the time. So while we were walking on the top, I had visions that in the middle of a high note by one of the players that maybe my foot would go through and people would see my foot. I wasn't sure. But they were playing and we were walking around. I called Pat right over when they had this map laying there. It had a lot of water damage, but it was... City of Gloucester.
I couldn't see a date.
Big, huge.
Oh, couldn't make that out. It was yeah. So if you get
had
a chance,
all the streets.
Yeah.
So you can walk in there, and they let you. They let you walk literally all over the place. I was looking at some of the engravings in the wall. Some people have carved their name and all that stuff. Yeah. It was pretty cool.
There's some amazing details in City Hall. Like if you like, even the lantern that's right in the entryway. It has like three arms, and then it has a schooner in the middle of it.
Oh,
I mean, really
fascinating.
I've gone up a couple of times, but I've gone in the summer, and I when they have those, I'm trying to think of. Oh, I know when it is.
Is it Trails and Sails?
Trails and Sails. They always open it up for Trails and Sails.
Oh, okay.
So if you see that event, anyone listening to this, if you see the Trails and Sails. That's generally one of the things that you can do for free is go to the top. Mm-hmm. And if it's a nice day, I highly, highly recommend it. They don't charge you anything. And you go up there, it's like going on an amusement ride. You go way up the top, and the views you have from there, it's like our version of the Custom House Tower.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or the Prudential Center.
Be prepared for very old staircases and... ladder-like devices.
You gotta be.
They are
how
not
about the, how about the
anyway.
Pigeon guana?
Yeah. Oh boy.
How about the pigeon guana?
Oh boy. That.
This is tons of it.
Oh really?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like you gotta disinfect when you go out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we also went to the Elias Davis House at the, which was open yesterday, and the Cape Ann Museum was open all day for everybody. And I had never been in that house. She had. There were. Loaded up with people to take you around with guides.
Which people should understand it's attached to the Cape Ann Museum to the left of it if you're facing the Cape Ann Museum.
Correct. Yep. Correct. Yes. Yeah. And there's entry from inside near the ticket ticket counter is how you access it. And she says it's not open very often. But they were giving tours yesterday, and it was quite, I found it fascinating because the rooms were, you know, we've toured these old houses, you know, that have been replicated or whatever, and generally the rooms are really small and tight, and you're feeling a little bit like you got to bend over when you're in there, even me who's not very tall. But these rooms were big and open, well, big in comparison.
Yeah,
probably
it's,
not.
It's furnished with 16 and 1700s.
Yep.
Furnished.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It was very, very interesting. We went to the church and had some of the church ladies' coffee. We went to. we watched the police do the hayride. We got a little bit of a chuckle out of that because it was a police vehicle pulling the hay.
The hay wagon.
Or it wasn't exactly.
Was it a Hummer? Was it the Hummer?
Yeah,
yes.
I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
So we were chuckling because at home, that's not what a hayride looks like. Exactly.
What is a hay wagon?
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Well, first of all.
Well, first of all, it's in a hay wagon.
Yeah.
You know, an actual hay wagon,
which
is much bigger and has tall sides to it and rails on it.
And you
generally
can put, you can get more hay on it. You can lean against some of the sides. You do step up, and the biggest John Deere that you can imagine is driving this.
Well,
hay
wagon. Or actual horses.
Or sometimes the horses too.
Yeah.
The big horses, they bring them out.
Yeah.
So you go.
So what do they have? A flatbed pickup truck lugging behind?
Just about.
Okay.
And with some
There's
hay
nothing
bales,
wrong with that because the kids had a blast.
No, the
I'm
kids
sure.
loved it. They,
well,
and
the
I think it just
it
just like kind of went around the block. Another thing, it you know, you get on a hayride at home and you're not getting home until lunchtime, you know, or, you know, it's like, you know,
they
were having the mutters were helping,
mass mutters, yeah.
were helping with that,
Yep, they were out there helping the people, you know, getting people on there.
And the kids were having a great time.
Oh, yeah. The kids were just loving it, that they could ride around Gloucester, that they probably walk around so much. They're walking around, riding on this hayride, waving to people.
Oh, of course. Yeah. No, that's a thrill for any kid. Yeah. Listen, at my age, at my old age, when I go to Appleton Farm on what I could, is probably what you guys are considering a legit hayride, it's a blast for an old person.
Yeah.
Listen, I got to throw in there, too, since we're talking about it. One thing that I was just totally enthralled about is I cannot believe the support from every aspect of this community to do this walk. I saw more of the police out there supporting things that when it got slippery, they were out there shoveling the sidewalks, throwing stuff.
Yeah.
Then
lots of police, lots of firemen.
The fire trucks coming out and the firemen going out and watching some of the traffic because it got crazy on Middle Street because not everybody, you know, they're doing their normal Saturday morning routine, which brings them to Middle Street. So they're dealing with some of this traffic and people. So they were out doing it, and I just kept looking around saying, look at all these people supporting this, and, you know, I got to take my hat off saying, wow, I mean, I'm impressed.
It's such,
congratulations,
such a wonderful community
Gloucester.
Effort.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Gloucester.
They step up for it. They've been stepping up.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yes.
We got a great police department and fire department. Like all of the different things. That, it seems like there's more and more outreach, like the Jeremiah Nicastro and everything with the you know, kids and cops.
Oh, I saw that in the paper
and
this week.
Like
the
cards. Like when I saw the McElhaney's downtown last week, little Dax had gone in to get his police baseball card.
Yeah,
and he was just
that's
like
great stuff.
He was just so thrilled, and he met the police officers that he got the card.
And even the mutters, you know, to come out and support this. I mean, there's so many different things they probably could choose to do, but they chose this, and you know, congratulations, guys. You know, it worked. I want to tell you. Someone
years.
Was out there worked.
20
oh,
years.
20 years?
This was the 20th year anniversary.
Nice. It was a lot of fun for us.
I went to the concert inside. I had to hear the O'Malley Middle School Band.
Yeah, they're awesome.
And listen to their jazz group. And
did you guys see the gingerbread houses? That's the part I'm sorry.
We saw them around the edge. We went and looked at them. We didn't hear the announcements or anything. They already had ribbons on them. And there was supposed to be an announcement or something. So I'm not sure what that was about because they already had ribbons on them. So, but yes, I did see it. That was quite amazing. They were age 7 and 8 kids, and they were complex
structures.
Gingerbread.
It's pretty amazing.
Communities.
It's kind of like the homework done by the kid. Yeah.
It's a team effort.
Yes, right.
Mother and child team effort.
My mother may have been one of those mothers that like helped out quite a bit. And then Kim, you were the Lobster Trap tree lighting.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Thanks for covering that.
It was, so I went a couple times during the day because first I wasn't even sure if they were doing it, but they were out there in the snow.
Oh, every year.
Yeah, putting those buoys up, climbing to, you know, David's up there climbing to the top. It's like everything's covered with snow and ice. And
Mark Ring was in here this morning and he says, he's just wondering when someone's going to...
Yeah, I was too.
He's but like, someone had like 10 buoys clipped to their belt and they're climbing this thing with any safety harnesses.
Oh.
God bless him.
Right.
God bless him and God
forbid
but
right.
Jesus.
Yeah, I wondered. And then
it's scary.
Also, one thing that was kind of scary was, I don't want to just focus on the scary part, but when the firemen came to put the crane right up to the star... And I didn't realize David was inside because he has to hook the light. And it was kind of shaking.
You could see it shaking a little bit, yes.
And
what, from the wind or something?
No,
well, no, he was just trying to get
inside. Oh, jeez.
But I thought it was from the wind, from the outside. So it's shaking.
Oh,
and I'm
God.
Thinking, oh, my God, if that crane,
just
you know, actually
it.
Takes a little bump,
yeah.
Off goes the top. You know, anyways, it was just pretty wild.
Oh,
so the firemen were awesome. They show up right at like 10:05, you know, with their big fire truck, get the crane in there.
Big crowd?
Yes. Not quite as big as, you know, always.
Years of, when, because yeah, of the,
when
yeah.
it's not, because it was yeah. sleeting by this time.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't really yeah. sleeting. Yeah.
But one thing that was really cool is Art Haven was open. Like, people were there.
Still painting buoys right up to
all, the... Well, they were, all the buoys were dry. Oh, right. I have to tell you about the wedding. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, I saw pictures of the wedding.
It was so funny. So, anyway, but then I don't want to forget, there was a party. So, there's supposed to be a party afterwards, but people, because it was so cold and rainy out, people were there beforehand. And so, it was just this, party for, like, 3 hours, like, before, during, and after. It was really sweet. But when I had got there mid-afternoon to try to get some action shots of David, you know, doing stuff, Up pulls a big van, a wedding party gets out, a bride, a groom, like, I don't
know. That was amazing.
And they had shawls, like, they had, like, green and black plaid shawls.
Yeah.
And the girl, and the bride was the sleeveless dress. Yes. God bless her.
She didn't look fazed.
No, she
it
didn't.
Was,
in the pit, your pictures were wonderful.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
I got a lot
Did
of
you
pictures.
Get the name?
No, but I'm going to try to today, because you know what?
I would really like to give him a shout out.
Yeah, well, I'm going to try, because I noticed Sherry from Beauport, like, the post, so she might... I was wondering if it came from there.
Yeah,
so I'm going to try to find out today, because I took a lot. I got a photo of them kissing right in front of the.
Awesome.
Yeah, I have some more photos to post of that. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to give a huge shout out to Tracy and Kathy. Tracy is the new executive director, and Kathy is the new program director at Art Haven. And, of course, David Brooks. I mean, and then all the volunteers, all the board. They have a very active board that is super helpful. Plus, there's a super nice guy, Sean. I don't know what his last name is, but he's been there every time I've been there.
Is he the guy that does the murals all over town?
I don't think
You know who I'm talking about? Meadows Field?
I don't know.
Goulart?
I don't know. I have no idea what his last name is. He said, we've met before at the restaurant. And I was like, oh. Anyways, he's super nice, and he's been there every time, you know, alongside David, you know, handing up lobster traps and buoys. And anyways, it's just a really, 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 really
was
awesome
David
team.
The one in shorts?
No,
yes,
I was going to say
the
Cape Cod Ice guys out there with their ice.
Skunk
that was, this. Talk about a little bit scary. When we're coming around the corner, this was much earlier in the afternoon, and they're trying to wrestle these blocks of ice. One guy in shorts. I think they were both in shorts.
Yeah.
Those Cape Cod Ice guys are always in shorts.
Yeah.
And the fog ice kind of gets away from him, and it sort of slides up. Well, it was probably down, not up. But I thought, oh, and that was a big piece of ice. I mean, God bless them for being out there wrestling ice blocks.
Well, I'll email Kathy and Tracy and try to find out Sean's last name, because I got a beautiful picture of him, like, with the holding the star up with the lights going down the street.
Uh-huh.
So I'd like to get his last name as well. He's super nice. Anyways, it was just a tremendous job, and now we have. So I don't think everybody understands everything that they've done is free. Like, all the buoy painting is free. It's just extraordinary. So their big fundraiser, unlike a lot of people who have their fundraisers prior to January 1st, their big fund, you know, a lot of organizations have their end of the year fundraiser.
Right, right.
Theirs is in January, and I believe it's the 26th, but don't quote me, or we can link to one of the posts. But
they are going to sell the buoys, and I think the lobster traps too, I heard.
The lobster traps, I think we talked about this. Those are being
raffled. There's 100 traps being raffled.
Raffled, and then they're hopefully selling them all too. Mm. So
yeah,
So.
There we go. Yesterday I went to get my Christmas tree with the kids.
Yeah.
Where do you get
your Christmas?
Well, this is a question I was going to ask. Does it seem like there's less places selling Christmas trees now?
Well, I don't know, because I typically always get our tree at Wolf Hill, because I have a relationship with them through the years. But a couple times after Nicole posted that tree about the live tree that you go and cut down. So I went 1 year, and then when I went the following year, they're supposed to be open 2 weekends. They were sold out the second weekend already.
The cut went down.
Yeah, where you cut it down yourself, and I liked.
That's become a big thing now. Yeah, families.
I liked it the first time I went because the tree really, 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 really did
lasted a lot longer.
Yeah, it lasted longer. But what they have at Wolf Hill are these gorgeous Fraser firs, which is what I've been getting, and they're beautiful. They smell divine for, you know, practically the whole time. They drink a gallon of water every day, so they're not that old. Mm-hmm. And they don't lose their needles as much as regular pine trees do. They're called Fraser firs.
We got a Fraser fir at Cape Ann Marina, Lehman Landscaping.
Okay.
We'd never got one there before.
Yeah.
Last couple of years, we got one at Tessa, right? Do you know where the next to Cape Ann Coffees, they were selling them there before?
Yes, yeah. Oh, that place is gone. Yeah.
That place is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple places that are no longer selling trees. We went to Lehman Landscaping at my, where it's Cape Ann Marina's parking lot there.
Right.
And we got a Fraser fir.
Yeah.
It was a lot less money than I've spent in the past.
Yeah.
Very full. Right. Very full.
They're very full. They're very dense. I love
very
those
dense fish. And very full.
They're
we don't have a big ceiling. The new house, which I never thought I'd say that I like a not a super high ceiling.
Yeah,
but now with the pellet stove and everything else, I have this cozy house now. So it's only like a 6.5 foot tree.
Yeah.
Well, it can't be 6.5. I'm 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
It's like a seven.
You might have a 7 or 8.
Yeah.
7 or 8.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that it wasn't very expensive.
Did you have trouble deciding where to put your new tree in your new house?
It took us about 15 minutes to discern. I liked where we decided to put it. It wasn't my initial thought of where we would put it because I couldn't picture us moving the couch from where the couch is, but it's right in the in the big picture window.
Oh,
so
nice.
Actually when I pull in,
nice.
It looks great.
That's always nice. Yeah.
That's
always nice.
And I haven't set this up yet. But I have the stuff to do it. I have, you know, I'm a huge fan of the Amazon Alexa. And, you know, the home automation. Well, I have these plugs that you say, Alexa, turn on the Christmas tree lights, and it'll turn on the Christmas. So instead of having to bend over and kneel down and get to plug in and unplug the Christmas tree,
right.
I put it on a timer.
You know what Tom has them on is these little foot things. You just step on it with
your
butt and it
turns
on.
Yeah, but I can turn this on and off from here. From here I can turn it on and off. I like that.
You like that.
See,
should all be that happy.
It's a little gadgety thing, but I think it's cool.
You know, I do want to give a shout out to Wolf Hill because they have an amazing trim a tree shop. They have every green you could imagine, every decoration, every bow, every ribbon.
There you go.
You know, they have really... They do a beautiful job. And I'm sorry I haven't done a post on them if our film friends... Usually every year I take some pictures, you know.
That's
because
all right.
I haven't done that yet.
Here's an interesting thing. As far as decorations go, Kate's sister and her next-door neighbor, they have this thing where they... One year... the neighbor put, she knows she doesn't like that, she thinks the blow up ornamentals are really cheesy, so they bought like 10 of them and put them all in her front yard and had all these like different like really cheesy blow up like Santa Clauses and everything. And
whoever was left at the 50% off sale, you know, nobody wants. Yeah,
so my thought process is this, like, you know, one or two of those alone is kind of cheesy in my mind. Whatever, you know, everybody does what you want to do. But like, I had this conversation with Madeline, and this is Madeline's quote, was like, you either go all in or nothing or not. Because if you go halfway, it's just in there. But if you go over the top, it's festive, right?
I agree with Madeline. I think it's beautiful when you drive by or walk by somebody's home and they have like, it's totally decked out.
Yeah, because you know they're in the spirit.
Right. I love whole neighborhoods that do that. I think it's really
fun. That's fun. Yeah.
Did you see what my beautiful, lovely Kate did for me?
Yes, that Weber grill.
The vintage Weber Redhead grill.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
The whole setup with the pine cones and the firewood.
Can you look out that? Can you see that when you look out your deck?
Yes, but when I pull in every night when I come home from work, it's right there staring me in the face. And she has battery powered lights on it.
Oh, wonderful.
I thought she did a beautiful job.
I mean, as much like ribbing as like everybody gives me about how many Webers I own and everything, like that's love.
I mean, she didn't even tell me she was doing that.
I came home from work.
She's on board with it, yeah.
I agree, that's true love.
Yes, it is. She
spent money to buy the little tree to go in there and everything.
You can't fight them, you join them. And have a little fun with it.
No, I thought that was kudos. True love. Okay. True love.
God bless her little heart. And she's all in. The house is decorated inside.
So comfy
great.
And cozy.
It looks awesome.
Aww,
well,
she did like 90% of the work. She didn't break my balls to do it. That's the best part about it.
I remember walking through it where there was like hardly any walls in it when you brought us through and saying, I think we're going to put stuff here and we're talking about this. And Pat and I were looking at it going, oh, this is never getting done. And look what you did.
Yeah.
You made it a nice home for everyone.
It's beautiful. I'm still in the pinch me phase. I'm still in the pinch. I'm like, is this really... Because, you know, the pellet stove was something I always wanted in the yesterday I had the wood stove going downstairs. So the house was toasty warm.
I asked the girls and they said that it's real nice.
Oh, did you ask them about the pellet stove?
Oh, I asked them.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. It's awesome. I love it. I love it, love it.
Both of them. Nice.
I got to get a shed. I got to get a shed, though. I think I might go to Reed's Ferry and
get a nice shed.
I need a big shed. I need a shed. I need to be able to put stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to have a for donkey yard with all stuff inside.
I don't want to leave talk of the weekend without mentioning Harbor Voices.
Tell me about Harbor Voices. We had the girl in here.
Yes. And the show opened Thursday and Friday and Saturday in the auditorium at City Hall. It is a big open space with, you know, there was no seating or anything set up. It's dark in there, and it's a light show. Right. Basically a light show.
Light show.
With snippets of conversations from immigrant families. Mm-hmm. And it's about a 10-minute loop. Because I'm the way that I am, I wanted more of the stories. I wanted to hear the whole story instead of these clips. They were very intriguing, or have a way to access the stories.
Oh, well, that's a good idea. Like you know, you can go to this website.
Right. Something like that.
They could have a QR scanner.
Yes.
Yeah.
It would be an easy way to do it.
But the light show itself was quite fascinating, and the venue was nice for it. I thought the auditorium worked for those lights. What did you think? People were looking for seats.
Yes.
See,
people were coming in, and as soon as a new beam, that there was a new story.
Okay.
So people wanted to, I mean, they didn't know it was a 10-minute loop. It doesn't say that.
Right. Well, it says it on here.
Well.
Okay.
But you can't read it.
When people came in, they didn't know. So
we
were staying on the side, and we were just kind of, we found a spot where we can hear the speaker, and we hear the stories, and people were looking for the chairs, but if you know anything about the chairs there, they're all connected, they're like four. So when they said chairs up, there's four of them connected. So you have to drag four over and open them up, and so that made some noise, and then some kids...
Well, I don't want people tripping over them and
stuff. And, you know, some kids came in, and of course, they got an open floor, so that meant the kids could slide to the left and slide to the right. So... You know, and they were loving the lights too, because then they can go and do their thing. So it was really unique on that aspect. So
it was interesting.
We stayed for a while so we can hear some stories.
Hear the stories,
right.
But definitely a good approach. Like she said, it's definitely different, and she was very, very happy to see people and thank everyone for coming in. And he had plenty of help. Mm-hmm. People out there.
I tried to photograph on Friday afternoon at midday when they were setting up, but they wouldn't let me in. They said, oh, they just turned the lights off.
I think Donna put something up.
And so I was like, okay, so. It's just like, wow.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Did you go to the, what's this O'Malley Middle School fundraiser?
Oh, yes, this week the O'Malley Academy hosted, which is their after school program, hosted a holiday showcase, and there are 75 6th, 7th, and 8th graders involved in this program. God bless the teachers that are trying to round up 75 6th, 7th, and 8th graders.
Man.
They were fundraising for their program, for the after school program, and they did little they did some songs, the whole chorus did some songs, and then they did a couple little skits, you know, along the way. And we saw every manner of middle school personality that you would expect to see up there. Some of them we saw again when the band played on the stage, and of course a couple of them were percussionists. So it was like, you know,
energetic percussionists.
It's always said. But the thing that was interesting, one of the reasons that we went was because our friend Nate from To Kill a Mockingbird is in that group, and they previewed a little song from their spring production of Shrek Jr. And they have a couple of different casts, and he's going to be Shrek in one of the casts for this.
He's such a skinny kid. How are they going to make him into Shrek?
Sure. Well, we went over to chat with him when it was over, and he recognized us, so that was nice. And I said, "Okay,
nice
you just—he's awful nice kid."
Such a
he
nice
says,
family.
"You can't just leave it alone. You can't just have a break, you know." And he said, "No, no." He goes, "And I joined the basketball team."
Yeah,
I'm like, well, of course you joined.
Right,
who wouldn't want you on the basketball team? You know.
Eighth grade.
So
great family.
Those performances are great.
Oh yes, they
the
are.
Middle,
yeah.
My daughters.
Yeah.
They love those performances.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's cool.
I was impressed by that because they let the kids do all the seat changes, and they brought out mm-hmm. things, and it was a good start from what we saw in To Kill a Mockingbird, where people would come out and do some lines, and then they knew enough that they have to take something off for the next scene. So these kids are all doing that, doing their thing, mm-hmm. and very well organized, and again,
they've had a great program there for a while. Their theater
mm-hmm.
program has been great for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we're from the outside taking a look.
Jimmy, can I ask you a question? So whenever we go to these Disney productions, and they call them the Little Mermaid or the thing there, they're always like very, very aware of making sure people aren't recording the music or anything like that.
Very
productive.
They're protective
of it. And
they really are.
Is that huge money for Disney? Like, how much do they have to... Do you know, have any idea how much they... like?
Well, there's rights.
Rights.
What's happening is when you sign on to get it, you have to basically say that you're only going to perform this much or this little, because if you somehow say that they want a copy of your program...
Right.
They want to see it. In order to give the rights over, it's just not signing up. You have to basically say all this.
And you have to do it exactly the way it's written.
They do have people to check.
They do.
Well, I remember we'd go there and we'd like taking photos, and they're like,
do not take any video. They did one song from Shrek Jr., and it's all over this. No recording.
This is
the...
Because
the radio audience can't...
See, and
I'm holding
I wasn't
the program.
Even reading that. This is from a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
right.
I'm holding the program from the event the other
because
night.
Because if you turn around and say, oh, I'm not doing all that, well, they want their money. The pricing goes way up, and you know, you have to pay a certain amount, and a lot of it is beforehand. You literally have to pay... a lot before, and one thing I've learned is that they do send people around. It's their job.
They do want to protect
their
image.
If they hear that they sent you, Disney is coming to Gloucester when it's time for Shrek, and they're going to be looking, and they're going to go back, and all of a sudden there'll be a letter, and they'll sue you and this kind of stuff because they didn't get the money. So.
And you also can't. You have to use their promo materials too. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I know this from the Anisquam Village players. It's very, they're very, very, very strict. Not just Disney. Disney's the most strict, but other productions are. When you get the rights for these shows.
I'm sure we'll be covering it when Shrek will be a good one, too.
Yeah.
That'd be a great.
Oh, they can bring so many kids in.
That's going to be a blast. Yeah. Kim, Feather and Wedge, signing. The book signing, Rockport Through the Ages, photographs from the Sandy Bay Historical Society. A lot of the photos taken by Charles Cleves.
Yes.
And it's on December 14th.
December 14th. And he was a, he lived in Rockport, and I think it's 1877. He was born in 1877, and he died at the youngish age of 60 in 1937. But during that time, he founded the Rockport Photo Bureau and basically documented life in Rockport for 40 years.
A lot of quarry stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah, a lot of people. What a treasure trove. So it's not just his photos, but also Les Barrett, who's a current photographer. Bartlett, excuse me. Did I say that right?
I think you said Barrett.
Yeah, no. It's Bartlett, you're right.
Yep.
B-A-R-T-L-E-T-T. Mm. And so his photos are in the book as well. And then a couple of other photographers living today of their documentation of Rockport.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there was a book that came out many years ago along the similar vein. But there wasn't a digital copy, and there was no way to recreate it. So that's how this book came about. So, anyways, it looks beautiful. The photos that I've seen from it look fascinating and beautiful. So, it'd be great to have something like that for Gloucester.
Yes.
So. Pat, you wanted to speak about snowstorms.
Yes.
Rural versus urban.
We were just contemplating. Now, the storm wasn't really what I would call a storm exactly, unless you listen to the weather predictors. You had to be careful, but I was just a little bit amused at home. If we were under those kinds of warnings at home, we were sitting in Cafe Bichu having a nice cozy soup and watching the
snow
come down, not worried a bit about being able to get back to our apartment or anything. We would not do that at home. We would not do that at home. We would be hunkered down at home.
For the levels of warnings that they talked about.
Exactly. Yeah. If we were at the same level of warning.
Because you would have how much snow would you have if they were
back up? This is they're from up. We call it upstate.
Getting up the roads aren't prepared ahead of time the way it appeared that the city streets were being were being prepared ahead of time. We live on a hill. We're not close to a grocery store or a cozy little cafe or anything like that. So. Yeah, we wouldn't have wasted our. I mean, that would mean a trip. That's at least a half an hour to get there.
Right.
Do you think? And then get back, and you wouldn't be taking those kinds of chances with that kind of a forecast.
Because you would have how many feet of snow would you have if they were forecasting the same way?
Probably a couple.
Yeah.
probably a couple, at least a foot, and then, like today when we were getting ready to leave the apartment, there's a sand truck pulling up the driveway at the house, putting sand down. Now, you're on your own for that, Well, I'm sure she hired out for it. But we have to wait all day, maybe 2 days, to get the sand truck or the plowing done, in our driveway. It's just a different... And everybody was very relaxed about it around here. Nobody was in a panic. Nobody was.
You think they should have been panicked with the
No, I don't. But
if you listen to the weather forecast,
if you had listened to
right.
Well, here's the thing: the weather forecasters are forecasting for Boston,
right?
In metro,
big
the 128 belt,
And Worcester.
So we have Gloucester, Cape Ann especially, being out into the water. We're surrounded by 40, you know, the water that is way above freezing, mm-hmm. right? And so when the first couple snowstorms, whatever they forecast, especially for the first, like December, whatever they forecast for
Boston.
For Boston, and the, you know, the, when they're giving general numbers, mm-hmm. is generally we get half of that
right.
because, and it usually goes away a lot quicker. Now, inversely, in the spring, when they get a 75 degree freak day in Boston, we'll be 65 degrees here because we're surrounded by cooler water here.
Okay, all right.
Then, yeah, so we're getting
sense.
The cool
yeah.
breezes, and even in the summer, when it's 100 degrees in Boston, it might be 87 mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
You know, because we have
the
cool,
ocean.
The earlier,
yeah.
you know.
Right. The ocean is.
Oh, that's okay. That makes sense. I pay attention. There's a very local, I think it's Cape Ann weather or something like that. Those are the ones I usually watch when we're out here.
Yeah.
Because that's specifically what they're saying is that those forecasts that you hear on the Boston news stations are for a large area and it's
yeah.
for more. You know, centralized, but so it was just
yeah. With us, we look at New York when everyone says upstate New York, and right now Buffalo got really smacked. They had a big, huge storm, so people start saying, "Wow, how much snow did you get?" Well, we don't get what Buffalo gets, but we have the lake effect because it comes off the Finger Lakes, so we get that approach. So lake effect. Sometimes they get smacked with feet of snow, but we get. The 4 or 5 days in a row coming off that lake where
it's churning.
It mm-hmm. just keeps yeah. coming. So we get that ice and that kind of stuff. So when we hear that Buffalo's getting something, we all look at each other and start going, you better get ready because mm-hmm. it's off of the lake effect coming down that way.
So when I was a child, we lived in Fairport, New York.
Right?
Okay,
yeah,
so,
yeah.
So you're right across
yep.
that.
We were right there, and I'll never forget this amazing snowstorm that we had where it was like for 2 weeks we were housebound, and then mm-hmm. my neighbor, who had like 5 brothers, they built tunnels. All they lived on Flight Hill.
Yes.
They built tunnels through the snow, and
mm-hmm.
we used to go sledding under in these underground tunnels.
It's a little scary to think about
yes.
now.
That's
but
wild.
Yeah, it was,
that is
yeah.
wild.
It was so awesome. Oh my God.
Oh,
I'll never forget
geez,
it.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
That's
I was just giggling to myself a little bit about the difference between if we had faced this same general forecast that most people heard yesterday, if we had been at home and what this was like. And everybody was in a good mood, but that, you know, there's a lot of other reasons for that, but nobody was cranky about the snow. And
I was loving all the trucks coming out, getting with
yeah.
their sanders and the brand new plows on the trucks. I'm going, boy.
Yeah.
I think they were also doing it ahead of time, too, because of the Middle Street Walk yesterday.
Well,
I think that's why they were kind of a little bit ahead of things
yeah.
yesterday.
Yeah,
yeah, Safati's like, yeah. When Safati has an event,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
there's no, nothing's going to get in the way. She's like pulling in all her favors and making
sure.
You
know what we've been I've been meaning to find out? Who is responsible for those gorgeous reefs now that are on
They
Main
are
Street?
Beautiful.
They're beautiful.
Who did the post yesterday? Was that not you or was it Catherine?
About the reefs?
Yeah, I think
no.
Catherine.
Oh, I didn't see
well,
it.
She included it in.
Catherine did a post yesterday.
When it says who, like who's in charge of that?
I don't know if she did the thing there, but she definitely acknowledged it.
Yes,
wow.
She did.
She
did a picture of a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Oh,
they are beautiful.
Front doors. No, not, you're talking about you're talking what you did yesterday.
No,
the
he's right.
Lovely
she
Main
did.
Street wreaths and
oh.
City Hall Tower lights.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there they are. They're beautiful. I've been
she didn't say who did them.
Last week or so.
But I'm guessing that she
I want to find out who did
yeah.
that because it's such an improvement over last year. I mean, they look exquisite. Main Street looks exquisite.
It's, yeah, yeah.
It's really, really, really impressive.
It's amazing. We were having this conversation earlier. I have these glasses with the 1.5 times
oh.
magnification because I'm getting old, my eyes are getting worse. But this conversation we had was, it started out talking about how long, you know, there's like you know, the blog's 10 years old, and like, I was a different person 10 years ago than I am now, like as far as, like in a million different ways, but like, you know, we're 10 years older.
We're 10 years old.
Right? So there's certain things that younger people don't know about what happens when people get old.
Yeah.
And a lot has to do with vision.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
One of it
they
is...
They think it's not going to happen to them, I think.
Yeah.
Right. I could totally understand why.
Yeah,
because
if
you don't have this problem, it would never occur to you.
I was a little surprised when it came upon
when
me.
Happened,
right?
Yeah.
So one of the things is when you're driving at night and like people that don't wear light-colored clothing, there is a huge risk to, like, I was driving on the back shore driving home the other night, and a guy was wearing dark jeans and a black jacket with a hood.
Yeah.
Literally, I saw him fire. I didn't have to swerve or anything, but I was saying to myself,
the way I drove
past that guy, he had no, he didn't move or anything like that. Like,
yeah, no, we've noticed that.
People need to be aware of that. But this is what I want to say, because I know there's a lot of restaurant people that listen to the podcast and we're friends with. If you're like a 40-year-old or younger restaurant owner, and you're putting together your menu, especially in a dark...
I know what you're going to say.
No, especially in a dimly lit restaurant.
Oh, my God. You're like
so many restaurants... When the font is so tiny, it is literally it's impossible for me to read. Impossible. I find myself in this past year taking these menus, finding
a source
like
of light.
The most strange, awkward position, standing up, finding a light in a corner. Like hovering over the table next to me with 1 foot up on the wall, positioned, like, and cocking my head, trying for the life of me to understand what's on this on this menu, because I can't read it, not even a little bit.
Yeah.
And so, like, sometimes you find like a candle.
Candle on the
table. My head is sideways. Horizontal to the table,
holding the paper.
Like my temple is 2 inches from the table, with the menu 2 inches from my eye, trying to like hold it at an angle that I can actually read what is on this menu. I must look absolutely foolish, but there's no other way for me to comprehend what's on these menus.
How about a flashlight on your phone?
Yeah, well, we use that sometimes.
Well, yeah, you can, but you know what? When I'm with Kate and I go out for dinner, I try to... I'm trying to disconnect.
Yes,
I'm like
yes.
When I have my daughters. If you notice, a lot, I don't post as much on the weekends because when I have my kids, I try to disconnect. I'm so overconnected during the week when I'm at work. You know, so
just last night.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Just last night, we were sitting in an establishment and at a table, and there was a light right above our heads, and the guy over here is saying, "Are you sure you don't want to move where that light's not right over the top?" I'm like, "No, I am fine. I'm perfectly fine right here."
Yeah.
He couldn't get it.
I told him she looks better in the lights. So why are you trying to turn
he
it on?
He couldn't get it. I'm like, "No, I'm fine right here."
and they use light gray typeface.
Yes, I was going to say something like this.
Yeah.
You know. Which I'm pointing at a dark background with white lettering on it, itty bitty white lettering on it.
How about the tan ones with faint light lettering, but like 4-point type?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just teeny tiny. Like there's some of my favorite restaurants in town that are, and I understand it because I know who the owners are, and they're not yet 40 years old, so they don't have these issues. But like, if you are thinking of your customers, and most of the people that are going to these restaurants are retired folk, and you know, people of means
and
stuff
money.
Like
yeah,
that,
yeah.
And I guarantee you, they're facing the same struggles as me. So anyway, I got the reason. So Mike, I have two pairs of these magnification glasses. I bought them on Amazon. Five pairs. For $11.99, Amazon Prime. They came in 2 days.
And are they...
that one happens to... They're all different styles.
They're solar.
That one happens to be like a sunglass. I didn't even... I just picked up one of the pairs.
Yeah.
The other ones aren't.
Yeah.
But for the five different pairs, there's one that has the tortoise shell on the side. Okay. One's all black. Like, there's another pair over there on the desk over there. It's just I disperse them around the places where mm-hmm. I'm going to be doing my computer work. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, speaking about getting old, like my father-in-law is going to be 93. And so he would say to Tom, like, oh, you don't know what it's like. When I was 85, I could just hop out of bed. And now, God bless him. And now, oh my goodness. You just don't know, Tom, what it's like getting older. And then I'll say stuff like, and now I have to take a nap. This year I had to start taking a nap.
God bless him, oh my goodness.
I love naps.
They're oh my God. Just oh. about my favorite thing.
God, the best. The best thing. The, like,
so, he's 93.
God bless him.
And my mother-in-law's going to be 90.
Wow.
August, so.
When I was 85...
Yeah, when I was 85, I could just hop out of bed.
Oh my gosh!
I know.
Crazy.
Oh God bless him.
On Facebook, there was a call to action that people tagged me on, and they wanted me to mention this. Pam D'Ambrosio writes on Facebook: I heard that Paprika Grill on Washington Street may have to close due to lack of business. So sad. Gloucester might lose this Mediterranean option. Tasty, healthy food, always fresh and made to order by the friendly young proprietor. Awesome Baba Ganoush. If you haven't visited, please check it out. So I told them I would mention that on the podcast. Oh, yeah. Remember they got robbed?
Yeah.
And there was a call to action and the place got mobbed with business?
Yeah.
Hoping that can happen again. It's surprising to me that... he's talking about potentially closing due to lack of business because he's called me, he's messaged me several times, asking me about spaces to expand his business.
Oh, huh.
And I've always said to him, are you sure you want to like the places that he's mentioning to me, big overhead, and he'd have to hire big staff and everything else, and then when you have this big overhead, your prices have to go way up mm-hmm. because...
So has he ever experienced a winter here? That could be, like, when did he... I don't remember when he opened. So perhaps he opened...
Has it been a full year?
I think so.
Yes, because...
Wasn't the robbery...
Shortly after
yeah.
it, but...
I don't know, but
I'll look right now, I could tell you.
Perhaps he's, you know...
Not
used to, you know, winter time.
You know, parking by his place too is awfully tough.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never had a problem with that.
I never had a problem either. December 19th, 2016. It's like a year.
Just about a year. So, yeah. Like, maybe there was a lot of interest that first month. That
mm-hmm.
almost to the day.
Almost to the day.
So mm-hmm. maybe it's just a little, you know, minor little slowdown, but. We'll give him some shout-outs.
Because
sometimes restaurants go off your radar screen. You know
they do.
I mean?
That's
so,
true.
So I'm happy to go there next week.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I went to Taco Sweet Pizza last night on my way back from Madeline's birthday party, picking up her birthday party.
The food there is so good, isn't it? It's
one of my favorites. But, I just if I had read this yesterday,
yeah.
I probably would have gone there just to spread the level around a little bit.
Tom loves it there. So,
at this place?
Yeah, we'll go next week.
What do you order there? Like
I'm crazy about falafel, so I always get the falafel salad. It's really good.
All right, I'll order that. Next time Kate texts me and she's like had a hard day at work and she's like, what do you want to do for dinner? And I could tell... In her tone, even though through it's a text, meaning, can you pick up something? I'll get her the falafel salad. And I bet you she'll love it.
Yeah, it's really good.
So there's that. We're going to end on this note because we're almost at, it'll be an hour. But this morning, so yesterday I had this wonderful day with my kids, even though they were nudgy because they were
overtired.
They're overtired.
Yeah.
And overstimulated. Probably.
Overstimulated, overtired.
Probably.
But they're just a little bit nudgy. Very rare for them. But we had a great day with Kate decorating the house with them and everything else. It was an awesome, like, kind of cozy day. And like I said, I was unplugged. So I came to work this morning, 4:00, did my paperwork. After I got my work paperwork done, I fired up the internet machine. The first thing that I read was that Giancarlo Stanton signed with the Yankees. I felt sick to my stomach, like want to throw up. So little background: Giancarlo Stanton hit the most home runs in the major leagues last year. He was definitely the most highly sought after free agent this year.
No, he wasn't a free agent.
Not a free agent. He was looking for a trade.
The
Marlins, he has a huge number attached to his contract.
Yes.
And the Marlins, who he was playing for, wanted to dump his contract because they don't have like a competitive team, so they wanted to dump his contract. He was such a his agent had the foresight, and he could demand to approve where he would be traded.
That's
to
impressive.
And earlier in the week, he had mentioned four places that he was willing to play for, one being the Dodgers, which was World Series team last year, the Astros, World Series team last year, the Cubs, World Series last year, and the Yankees in contention with an unbelievable, powerful lineup. He signed. Now he's just kind of like a Spanish player, and he had expressed a desire to play. Kind of, he was leaning towards the Dodgers, LA. Warm. It made all the sense in the world. So I really kind of wasn't worried at all. But I wouldn't normally worry. But the Yankees, this last year, were already had one of the like a fearsome lineup to begin with. Had hit the most home runs in the major leagues last year without him, and he hit the single player with the most home runs. So any pitcher that has to pitch to this team is just mentally, it's so disheartening to me.
Yeah.
I'm so disappointed because this Red Sox team is a young, fun team to what they play small ball, stealing bases, just a totally energetic, great team to watch. And it's like this puts the Yankees so far out ahead of us, and there's no one, it seems, that is in the out there for the Red Sox to acquire to even make a difference.
A dent in it?
Yeah.
No. Wow.
Not even on the free agents, there's no one out there.
No one out there. There's still time for the Red Sox to make a move, but there's nothing apparent. Like the baseball writers, the people that like know much more than I do about baseball, doesn't seem like there are any apparent solutions.
Yeah. I mean, it's true that Stanton, that they did. The Yankees took on a major portion of his salary, and they gave him three or four players to Miami for it. Even if Boston went out and said, hey, we'll do that. We'll take on somebody's contract for you. That means they have to break up their team. And what Joey is saying is true. Boston has a nice core going. They just got their new manager. The idea behind this new manager is to keep all this together and some excitement. And now let's put it this way, when Boston beats the Yankees, and it's going to happen, there's going to be some times, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun to watch, it's going to be fun to watch unless they get blown out every
year. I was just going to say that.
We do have pitching. I mean, and World Series pitching wins. But, I mean, those bats, I don't know how you can't pitch around. When you have that many people in a row that the pitcher can't throw balls to.
Yeah.
So we have no big poppy types on our team.
We have no big poppy types. Big poppy types are rare to begin with.
Right.
This guy, they have like three of them. It's scary. Anyway.
Was Big Poppy ever offered to... Did somebody ever try to take him away from Boston? Like, it seems like Boston has players that are there year after year after year, which kind of creates like a huge fan base.
Other big teams that in big markets keep, like Yankees kept Derek Jeter. The Yankees, the big market teams that are willing to spend the money, there's certain players that they base. And they build teams around, But Jim, who tried to get Big Poppy for?
Well, what happened was when he was the free agent, he went out. He when you say, did someone else try? He did talk to other teams. He wanted to find out what it was worth.
Okay.
Nowhere did he say, no, I'm not bothering talking to anybody else. I want to stay with Boston.
Okay.
He did talk to other people to get numbers, which made the press go crazy, and then everyone was going, you can't get rid of him. And before you know it, he signed for the contract, and he turned around and said, listen, I was always going to sign with you. It's all to get the money.
Oh.
But, yeah, they have to. If you straight up say, you'd be dumb
right.
to straight up say, I'm playing in Gloucester. I'm playing in Boston for the rest of my career, and I'll take a hometown discount.
Okay. Right.
But
right.
I say that. But at the same time, after when you've played in the major leagues at that level, and you've already had a couple monstrous contracts of money, when he goes back to the Dominican Republic, that you couldn't spend this, you could not in your lifetime spend the kind of money that he's already earned. For me, it would not be about, like, X amount of millions. I mean, a substantial amount of millions. But I at that point, I would, like, and I think Tom Brady has taken a little bit of a discount to so that the team can actually have more money to spend on other players, to keep you competitive.
Right.
You've heard that in football, and Brady has done it, where he restructured his contract.
Oh.
So people will come in,
yeah.
and they can get more. He'll turn around and say to New England, listen, I know you need people. I'll restructure mine.
Right.
We don't know what that means, but we've heard that. I don't know if I've heard that in baseball. I don't know if anybody
or basketball.
Yeah, I'll restructure my contract so you can get more people. No, I've heard it in football. I've seen it in football.
Not
in baseball.
Not in baseball.
And that's why Miami Marlins, they turned around with Jeter being the new owner and stuff, saying they went to him. They went right to Stanton and said, listen, we'll pay you what you want, but we're getting rid of everybody else. You will be on a team that will not
never
be
contend. Never contend.
Or let us bring you somewhere. Waive your no-trade contract so we can put you anywhere so you finally get what you want, and we'll go from there. What's your choice? And it just kept going from there. No, I did not expect him to sign with the Yankees.
Cold
not
weather team. You know what I mean? Like, the springs and the late falls.
Especially
it's kind of, it's cold, you know, that's, it's kind of.
Especially
kinda,
when you mentioned his family is on the West Coast also, mm-hmm. so, right, yeah.
When you have this kind of money,
yeah.
you can build a city around you.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
create an environment, a nice environment around you wherever you are, it seems, you know what I mean?
Yeah. yeah.
But it just seems like to be, actually, it's really, Octobers can be nice here. It's
also,
really not that cold. It's not
it's
that
warmer
cold.
In New York. It is warmer in New York than
it is
here.
Warmer. It is
yeah.
warmer.
It is
that's
definitely
true.
Warmer.
But the springs are not.
Yeah.
Spring, it can be miserable. April and May can be miserable.
Yeah, I
so.
See. I see what you know because Liv's always telling me what it's like there in New York. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like 15 degrees warmer.
Yeah. Spring happens earlier. I mean, even my clients in Westport, spring happens. A good 10 days earlier
mm-hmm.
in Westport than it does.
Yeah.
And that's southern Massachusetts, so, yeah.
It's well, there you go. It's, I invested more time in watching Red Sox games this past year than any other year in my entire life, including, like, when they won the World Series. I was all in on this team. I was so loving this team, and I'm just so devastated right now.
So when does the season start exactly?
Well, spring training's going to start pretty soon.
Yeah, so
spring training starts pretty much toward the end of February. March is pretty much all the spring training games. The season technically begins around April 1st.
Around April 1st.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, let's keep positive. Okay, let's try.
Dab.
Oh no, there's no doubt. Boston, the wheels are spinning right now. There's no.
Oh,
doubt.
The they GM are. Right now. I mean, they're not. They got it. They have to do something.
The fans will freak
out. Right. I mean, right now they're gonna have to make some moves. But the problem is now that you're making moves out of desperation,
yeah,
as opposed to making.
Yeah. As opposed to building.
I agree
with
that.
I mean, the beginning of the year last year,
yeah.
you would have thought that there was. They had Sale. They had Price. They had. They had Porcello, you know, who had won the Cy Young the year before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get too into it, but I just, there was all this promise. And now, like, in the course of 1 year, it's like, oh
such
my
is
God.
Such is the life of a Boston fan, right?
We get the Celtics, so we get the Celtics and we get the Pats.
Yeah.
Fun to watch. 4 o'clock tonight. Anyway, Gloucester Cast 256 is in the books.
See you at the party.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good idea.
I'm taking the music off. Come next Saturday night. Cape Angie Clay, 6 o'clock at night, the 16th of December on Maplewood Ave, Cape Angie Clay. Good Morning Gloucester, 10-year anniversary holiday party. We want you there. Don't wait for an invitation. This is your invitation.
This is it, yeah.
Come. You told me you were going to bring the...
I have it. My horn's in the car, but I didn't bring it.